bit of advice is it just, you know, just go in there with confidence. Have confidence that you know what you're dealing with and learn as much as you can and, you know, stay calm through it all.
Hello and welcome to the Quiet Light Brokerage Podcast, where every month we interview a buyer, seller, or industry expert to uncover the lessons of buying and selling websites from those who are buying and selling on the front lines. This month, we talk to Derek Teschner, who with his father and brother acquired Herbaffair.com through Quiet Light Brokerage. By drawing on their experience growing up in a household with an entrepreneurial father, Derek and his brother have turned their acquisition into a rapidly growing force in the herbal supplements industry. My wide-ranging conversation with Derek emphasized the importance of keeping a calm head after an acquisition, having a lot of patience, and applying time-tested, sound business principles as a sure way to build value in your acquisition. I'm your host, Mark Doust. Let's get to the interview. Okay, thanks, Derek. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me this morning about your business, Herbaffair, which you bought with your father and are now running with your brother. I was wondering if we could start off just kind of generically, and if you could tell me a little bit about the story of how you came into ownership of Herbaffair.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me, Mark. Well, to start off, Herbaffair, my dad and I were looking at internet businesses for quite some time before we came across Herbaffair, and then he brought up, you know, in front of my desk, and I was working in hospitality before, so I was working at a hotel chain beforehand, and he gave me Herbaffair, or we were looking at Herbaffair, and it was right. We just thought it was the right product. We liked the website. We liked the customer base.
Tell me a little bit about I know we talked about this before, but tell me a little bit about how you were searching with your father. One thing that comes to mind for me, or a question I have, was your plan always to buy a business with your father, and is he really involved in the business at all, or was it more that you had entrepreneurial aspirations and he wanted to help you get started?
The latter. He's been a huge input in Herbaffair, and I mean, he's been running a construction company for 30 plus years. So my brother and I always had an interest in running our own company. So he's definitely been a huge part of Herbaffair from the start until now, working with us. I mean, it's basically been my brother and I doing the day-to-day tasks. My brother came on, so we bought it in November of 2012. And my brother came on pretty much full-time in August of 2013. So the first, 9 months, it was myself just running it. My dad helped out for the first, couple months, just kind of getting it going. And then it was me until August. And then my brother came on in August. And it just, it took off from there. And, yeah, we've always wanted to do something, get into business for ourselves. So it just seemed like the right avenue. And then the internet businesses, my dad was looking at online businesses. He was getting emails from Quiet Light for quite some time. So we'd always kind of, throw business in front of me. What do you think about that? What do you think about this? And then Herbaffair came across, and it was just a light bulb went off. It was one of those times where just a light bulb went off and it just seemed right. So we jumped at it, and that's where we're at right now. We're loving it. So
your father was in construction, or he owns a construction business for the past 30 years. So I imagine pretty much all of your life, you've grown up with sort of an entrepreneurial household. You've watched your father go through the trials of being a business owner. Is that accurate? Did you grow up watching your father run a business and seeing the struggles and also the freedom? Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So how much of an influence do you think that was on you and your brother to watch your father run a business and go through both the benefits for anyone who's run a business? And I imagine most of the people that will eventually listen to this call have run a business at some point or currently run a business. How much did that influence you ultimately in wanting to get into your own business?
He was a huge influence, growing up. Just the idea of, doing it on your own and making a business and growing the business. He was a huge influence on us. I know we've always talked about it, and then it was just the right time. And I always kind of wanted to go in business with him, but the construction field wasn't necessarily my forte. So when we started talking about internet businesses, I loved the idea because it was one of those things where it was, you get to build something on your own. I knew at some point my brother would want to come into business with me. And then getting to work with my dad, I just loved the idea of it. When my brother came out in August, it became just, my brother and I, and then my dad kind of helping out when he could, because he obviously has his own business to run. No, growing up, seeing him run his own business, it was always, it was always one of those, it was a dream, you know, and then having it come all into fruition, being able to do it ourselves is, it really is the dream come true. And seeing where we've taken Urban Fair from the start to where we're at right now, knowing that we've built it into something that's, this is our future, you know, we're not, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's just a great feeling coming in to work every day, you know, building a business with my brother and my dad. It, you know, you couldn't ask for anything better.
So how difficult was it for your father or for you guys? I don't know how involved you were in the decision as to which business to actually acquire, but we see that a lot of people who come from the traditional brick and mortar world, like construction or manufacturing or any number of other industries, they see the online world, they see some of the benefits of it, the relatively low infrastructure and overhead, the fact that you can run a business that has no closing hours and no shifts to schedule. But some of the nuances of the online world are just seem very foreign to people who have lived in a non-internet world, a non-internet business world. Who was really the driver or the expert opinion in the decision-making as you were evaluating opportunities? And did your father find it difficult at all to analyze a business in the online world when he's familiar mainly with the construction world?
Well, it was definitely, I mean, it was a team effort. I mean, it was my dad and I, and I guess Urban Fair was one of those businesses where it's an e-commerce website, but there at the time, and even today, there's a lot of, we have a lot of products and a lot of packaging and a lot of orders to do. So it's, you know, we find it hard, like right now, find time where the mornings are working on the e-commerce side and then the afternoons are packaging orders and stuff of that nature. So Urban Fair isn't one of those businesses where, because I know there's a lot of business out there where you essentially as an internet owner or is an internet business owner, you don't have to touch the product. You know, you can get a fulfillment center, do all that stuff, and where you almost don't see the product. You can get a private label and sent straight to, you know, because Amazon's got their fulfillment centers and stuff of that nature. Or Urban Fair was kind of one of those businesses where it was going to be a good jump start to running our own company because we had that working on the internet side. And then you also have the customer relations because you have, you know, the phone calls and emails, and then you also have orders to fulfill. And we have, I mean, right now we have 90 plus herbs and spices, and then we have, you know, I think we have around 150, 200 SKUs. So we have a lot of products and we have a lot of, you know, orders and such and tasks like that to do daily. So it was an easy, I wouldn't say easy, but it was a good jumpstart into the e-commerce world. Just because it wasn't strictly learning or, you know, knowing how to run an internet business. There was a lot of other tasks that, you know, we had to do and that we could learn it all and, you know, all at once. So it wasn't strictly just jumping into an internet business. It was, I mean, in a sense, it's not a brick and mortar store, but, you know, there's just a lot of different products and a lot of different daily tasks that we have to do that on a different side of, you know, than just running internet businesses where you, you know, have SEO and the internet side of it.
Sure. You know, I often recommend to buyers who are coming in from the non-internet world to start out with an e-commerce business like Urban Fair, because it does have a lot of those similarities to the more traditional business world. You touched on something that I want to get into, because again, these calls are pretty short. So I want to get into some of the nitty-gritty decision-making that you guys have done. First of all, let's just lay a little foundation here. Since you acquired the website in 2012, how has the business done as far as growth and expanding beyond where you picked it up?
So we took it over in November 2012. And then 2013 was still pretty much learning the business. And then it wasn't really until September, October of 2014 where we really started seeing the growth. We kind of, our business sells on Amazon, our website, and then we also sell eBay. And then we started seeing the potential in Amazon. So we started taking classes on Amazon and how to sell on Amazon. And that's really where it took off, was in October of 2014, was where we just saw the potential in Amazon. And that's when we started focusing a lot of our time on Amazon and growing our products. We just saw our business pretty much explode. Each month was getting better and better and better. And then with Amazon, you see how you have sponsored products and you see how you can pay for to get sales. And then that's kind of where we started seeing the benefit of Google AdWords. And we were always afraid of the whole PPC side of it, because our products have, you can walk out of our store and spend $7 all in. So the thought of paying for somebody to come to our store and then walking out with a $7 sale kind of scared us a little bit. But we got into the whole PPC side of it, and it really, that's when our website started doing a lot better. So really it was this past year when we saw our website and Amazon all come together at one, and it's just each month is getting better than the previous month. And I believe our last month was another record month. So this past year is really where we saw the huge growth with Herbifair.
So are you guys carrying all of your own inventory, including that which is being sold through Amazon?
No, we carry, well, for our website, we do carry all of our own inventory, but one of the big things with Amazon is they have their own fulfillment centers. So with Amazon, you can sell fine on your own if you want to house your own inventory, and you know, you're going to sell okay. But once you start sending your inventory to their fulfillment centers, is really where you're going to start seeing the growth. So we actually try and keep all of our Amazon sales, we try and make sure they're all through Amazon Fulfillment Center. So we are able to keep, like I said, all of those sales, all of our inventory for Amazon in their fulfillment centers. So that cuts down a lot on the hours that we spend filling orders, because we don't really have to, well, we still have to package up the order or package up the product and send it to Amazon. We're not actually filling those orders day to day with Amazon, because we have it all in Amazon's fulfillment centers.
With your website, why have you guys opted to keep your inventory in-house versus finding a fulfillment center that would handle all of the order fulfillments and returns?
Because with our products, for instance, like we sell, you know, cayenne pepper is just an example product where you can get a quarter pound, a half pound, and a full pound of it. So, and we have, like I said, we have about 150, 200 SKUs. So for us to find a fulfillment center, it just doesn't seem the right time for us to find a fulfillment center, to be honest with you. We have found a couple companies that will help us co-pack our bulk products, so our one-pound products they can do, but the cost just gets too high because we have so many different products, and the minimum order quantity for those would just be too much. So it's just easier for us to keep that in-house right now and do that for now. You know, when we grow, coming into 2016, if we keep growing, that'll definitely be another conversation down the line. But at this time, with Amazon Fulfillment Centers, we have that taken care of. You know, we'll tackle the Herbifair side of that, you know, our e-commerce side of that, I guess, when we get to it. Because right now, it just seems the minimal order quantity would be too much for the amount of products that we have.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. How do you anticipate that growth on the website side? Obviously, when you are fulfilling inventory on your own, you run into a certain capacity issue eventually, where not only do you have to find a place to keep all the inventory, obviously, hopefully you're turning it over on a regular basis, but you still have a lot more inventory that you have to warehouse if you're doing a higher volume. And then there's just the real issue of time, packaging and filling all of those orders. How far away do you think you guys are from having to maybe make that next step where you either use a fulfillment center outsourced, or maybe you get your own warehouse and start hiring on staff? Have you guys started to plan for that? And what considerations have you guys put into that, if any, at this point?
Yeah, we've been talking about that because we are growing out of the current room that we're kind of set up in. So we're definitely talking about getting an office. I don't see us in the near future going to a fulfillment center for our Herbifair.com products. I definitely see us moving to a larger office and then hiring one or two employees to help us package orders, so Dan and I can focus on growing the business as opposed to filling orders. But like I said, with Amazon fulfillment centers, that takes a huge burden off of us. That opens up a lot of space for us because our products take up a lot of space and we have to order 500 to 1,000 pounds of turmeric. So getting rid of that and getting those products out of there opens up a lot of space. But I definitely see us within the next year getting an office somewhere and hiring an employee to help us fulfill the orders and just free up more of our time so we can work on growing the business as opposed to filling the orders ourselves.
That's obviously very exciting and glad to hear about the growth. What would you say, after you guys acquired the business, what would you say was the biggest challenge for you guys in coming into a business that you didn't start, so you're trying to learn how somebody else had run it and what they were good at, what they were bad at. What was the biggest challenge for you guys as you took over the business in that first, say, 60 to 90 days?
First 60 to 90, well, it was kind of two for us because we had to learn. We don't have a background in herbs. I mean, I like tea, so I drink tea in that nature. But so for us, it was learning the products. So that was a lot of trying to, you know, learn the benefits and all that of the products. And then also the internet side of it was, how do you get from this many site visits to this many site visits? And then you have the conversions, or the conversion rate, you know, when somebody gets on your website to actually buy from you. So for us, we didn't know anything going into this. So it was just learning, cramming our brains with as much as we could learn to figure out how to grow it. Because it started pretty small. I mean, our website, when we first took it over, didn't have any Google Analytics. So that's one of the first things that we did was install Google Analytics on our site so we could actually see how many people are coming to our site and what's going on with our sites. And I mean, when we first started, we were only getting around 100 visits a day, you know, on our website, three, four orders a day. So for us, it was, how do you get that 100 to 200? And not knowing anything about the internet business, you know, it took us some time to figure that out. So we went to different SEO companies, which that's a whole other conversation in itself. We've been with three different SEO companies. And we actually now are running it all ourselves because you know, you pick things up and you learn things. So my brother and I are now doing everything in-house. If we have to, we'll hire a freelancer to, you know, to do a project for us. But that first few months for us, it was really, I really just wanted to learn the business and learn the day-to-day tasks so we can keep it running smoothly. I didn't want to see a drop-off. My first year was, I didn't want to close out our first year and see a dip at all. So that was my, I just wanted to keep it status quo, run it smoothly as I could, you know, when I'm first jumping into it. And then close out strong and then just go from there. So the first few months it was really just learn the business and just, you know, keep our head above water. Since there's a lot to take in when you take on a, you know, you don't realize all the little things that you have to figure out as you go. You have to think, you know, thinking on your feet and stuff of that nature.
If you were to go back in time and see Derek at that very moment on the day that, of closing, or actually let's back up a little bit. Let's just say you are 2 weeks away from closing. You've finished due diligence. You verified that everything is correct and you're planning that transition. You're still working with the previous owner quite a bit. What bit of advice would you give yourself at that point in time?
Stay calm. I know for me, I'm anxious. You know, I like to get things going and I don't have a lot of patience, which is a good thing. It's a bad thing. You know, so I want to learn as much as I can, as quickly as I can. So we could, you know, see the growth happen sooner. But a bit of advice is internet businesses take time. Nothing happens overnight. And for us to see the growth that we're at 2.5, almost 3 years now, is actually happening quicker than we expected it to. So I guess it's just a bit of advice is, it just, you know, just go in there with, you know, confidence, you know, just have confidence that you know what you're doing, that and learn as much as you can and stay calm through it all. And, you know, just try and keep your head above water. You know, you're always going to come into the bumps and something's going to happen where it throws you for a loop. And, you know, with an internet business, it's so easy to look at the day-to-day numbers and you see what your sales did one day. And then the next day, you know, you did, you know, let's say you did 20 orders one day and you come in and you close out Tuesday and you only did 10 orders or 8 orders or whatever, you know, and then you freak yourself out. It's like, you know, well, what's going on? Well, it's the internet business. So it's, everything is, even, you know, a brick and mortar store, it's so easy with internet business to look at your daily sales and freak yourself out because you didn't do as good one day and then the next day you did really well. So then you're on the high, you know, it's try and keep a cool head and just attack it day to day and, you know, keep your overall goals ahead of you and, you know, it'll happen.
Sure. Sure. So how much time did you spend, say per week or even on a per day basis during those first 30 to 60 days as you're taking that sip from a fire hose, as it were, trying to learn all about product, all about the nuances of the business. How much time were you spending running the business?
Well, usually 8 to 10 hours a day. And then sometimes, you know, on the weekends when I can get some free time. But, you know, I mean, we're still, you know, easily 8 to 10 hours a day. Because it's, you know, you got your daily orders and stuff like that. And then it's learning about the business and learning about internet companies. And there's so much stuff out there to read and to learn about. So, yeah, I was easily working 8 to 10 hours a day when I first started.
Sure. How much time are you spending now?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Right now, we're still working. I mean, we're up here 7:30 every day in the morning, and we don't even think, you know, and we're out till we get the orders out at 5:30 at night. But like I said, when the Amazon fulfillment, we get a lot of our products out of here, and we don't have to fulfill our orders. It's going to cut down. I mean, it could cut down almost 50% of our you know, man hours, which is going to be huge. So we still put in a lot of time trying to grow it and that, but it's also because we have so many different products and just, you know, it's a labor intensive internet business. You know, it's not an internet business. There's so many out there where you can get a product private labeled in China or wherever and not really touch it. You know, you can find a fulfillment center very easily. Where ours, it's a little harder to find a fulfillment center. So we actually still have to fulfill all the orders. So it takes us more time. Whereas other internet businesses, I could see it, you know, if we had a different one running, I could see you only actually physically work down a couple of hours a day where you're trying to grow it the rest of the day. And that's all up to you, how much effort you want to put into it.
Sure. All right. I got two last questions before we wrap up here. So, and these can be pretty quick hitting questions. The first one is, what would you say is the biggest mistake that you've made since taking over the business?
What was the biggest mistake that we...
Yeah, the three of you, your brother, yourself, your dad, as you guys took over the business and were trying to ramp up, what was the biggest mistake that you think you've made so far?
The biggest mistake was probably going with an SEO company we didn't know too much about. We thought it was great. We got a new website out of it, but in the end, we don't really see where the benefit came from other than a new looking website. I feel like we threw a lot of money away because we just went in blindly. You know, we didn't know anything about an internet company, but we thought we needed an SEO company. And, you know, you can throw money away easily with an SEO company if you don't know what you're doing.
Absolutely. We get questions all the time for recommendations on SEO companies. And frankly, I haven't used an SEO company in years and none of my advisors have used one either. So, we don't really have too many people that we actually can recommend. All right. So, rather than focus on the negative, let's end on a positive question. What do you think is the best decision that you guys have made?
Focusing on Amazon. I mean, Amazon is the reason we're at right now. I mean, it gave us, there's so many classes out there on how to learn to sell on Amazon, and we found a good one. And it's just, it teaches you. Amazon is a great platform for people to become entrepreneurs. So if you're not, if you know, that was one, we took our Amazon business to the next level, and then our website kind of followed suit. And now they're both syncing up together, and it's a cool thing.
Sure. Have you looked at expanding beyond Amazon? I know you're on eBay, but have you looked at expanding to any other shopping platform?
We tried Rakuten, which was formerly buy.com, mm-hmm. for some time. I don't think we did a whole year with them, but we just didn't see much sales come from it. And that could be our product. That could be a whole bunch of things, but we didn't see the value in that. So that's when we started ramping up our Amazon. And we've got emails from other different selling platforms, but right now we're just focused on our Amazon, our website, and then eBay as well.
Fantastic. Derek, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on all of your success that you've had. And hopefully down the road, maybe if you do get your own warehouse, maybe we can talk about having an add-on business to take advantage of some of that space and fulfillment operations once you get to that point.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for having me, Mark. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Derek.
Thank you.